Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast. This is your Monday night phone-in. So your opportunity to get on the blower and put any of your points to the guys, whether you've got points to make about the game at the weekend, injury concerns that have been raised, or whether your battle fever is on at the start of what is quite possibly the defining week in this league campaign. So far, and with me to discuss all of that and take your points, hopefully, I have a stellar panel. Kerr, how are we?
I'm good, Connor. Just, I'm back from down south, so a good weekend away. I'm back home, so back to normality.
Brian, how are we doing?
Not bad. Couldn't make the game yesterday, but I kind of watched. It wasn't obviously the greatest of watches, but it was 3 points, so I'm sure we'll get into it.
We certainly will. And lastly, but certainly not least, a man who I don't get to share this stage with very often these days, and I promise it's not because we don't like each other. Wolf, how are you?
I'm actually not as good as I should be. I was fortunate enough to be at Broadwood today for the ladies' Old Firm game, and it didn't go as we hoped it would, so I'm still hurting a wee bit from that, but we're not here to talk about that. That's tomorrow night's business. So, apart from that, I'm doing okay. I'll make an apology to everybody watching this, though, that there seems to be a problem with my lighting, and it seems to be flickering backwards and forwards, so we'll do the best we can. I'm going to be a bit dull at times, but that's just like my opinion, so we'll just crack on.
Well, I mean, that's usually Kerr's job, is it not, Wolf? So you're kind of stealing his thunder there, but we will get into it. Kerr, we'll start with you then. Obviously, go over the line with a 4-1 win at the weekend. However, it seems to me that it's not really convinced anybody that we're, on the right path to go and clinch this title, which to do we'd have to beat Celtic, of course, at the weekend. What was your kind of overall take on what happened at the weekend? And Are you feeling any kind of positivity that we might still be able to snatch this?
I never seen the game when it was happening, Connor, but I watched it. I watched the full game back today, and I was expecting worse because of the comments I was reading and what I was seeing. I was only getting glimpses yesterday on my phone, so I didn't really get to see it. But I watched the full game back, and it wasn't as bad as I thought, but could have been a lot better. I just think they look a bit unbalanced. I think there's something missing, especially in the middle of the park. I know we've got injuries, but I'm fed up with injuries because we've got a big squad of players, and you can't say you go through a season with any injuries. I know some can maybe do more than others, but it's still no excuse for me. I would have strange vibe for the manager the past few weeks. I'm not going to sit here and say he should be sacked, but I've just got a strange vibe for the manager, some of his comments, some of his decisions. But listen, we scored 4 goals. It could have been more. Kelly had a few chances. The goal they scored was, I still don't really know why it went in. I thought maybe when I first seen it, I thought, is it Butland's fault? And then I seen everybody blaming Tav outright, and I thought, that's not really Tav's fault. But then you look back, maybe a mixture of both, I'm not sure. But I don't know, I just think I'm missing something. And I don't know what it is. I see Campbell gets a lot of flack, and I'm struggling to understand why. He seems to be a whipping boy for a lot of people, and I just feel there's no big connection middle to front. I know he made decisions, he brought on Lawrence and McCausland, wasn't it? And he took off sort of like Campbell and Sterling. And I thought that was a strange decision. I didn't think Silva was doing much, to be honest with you. I know he scored, but and Dessers to me was poor. He could have scored a hat trick, but that's Dessers. I know he can come out and say I've scored 20 goals and correctly he has, but he's still no the main man you want up front for next season. That's just my opinion. So I don't know. I think, listen, we have to go to the weekend and be positive. We can't all be negative. And listen, what we say between ourselves is totally different than what you say in front of folk. But I still, if you say to me, here's £100, you're going to buy Rangers on Saturday, I'd probably say just take £100 back in your pocket and just watch it.
I mean, I don't think I'd be necessarily putting £100 on it. I mean, Brian, look, the reality is that we did win at the weekend and we won comfortably in the end. Yes, of course, you've got to factor in that Kilmarnock did go down to 10 men. But that's not always easy to play against because, you know, usually when that happens and Kilmarnock did do this, there's a lot of time wasting and, you know, it's a back to the wall for your opposition who go, you know, usually 10 men behind the ball and you're having to break it down. And we did do that. So, I mean, you know, are we being maybe a little bit too on the defeatist side because of what happened with Dundee and Ross County and not actually looking at what was a positive result that certainly keeps us in this title race?
Yeah, I think there's obviously, I think it's more frustration from everyone. I think it's purely the fact that we had it in our hands and we could have done the business if we hadn't, you know, lost at home to Motherwell, the defeated County and Dundee. It was just a series of games that the performances were just unbelievable. You couldn't actually believe what you were seeing. And I think it's general. I think it's just a generalised sort of apathy that everybody thought we were in such a good, considering where we were when the manager came in to where, you know, we were just before the Motherwell game, you know, we were in a really good position. And we all just feel now we've chucked it back at them. You know, we took it off them. You know, we went on a great run. And I think it's just a general apathy that everybody's feeling because they're just so annoyed and hurt that, you know, that we had it and we've kind of just gift-wrapped it back to them. So I think it's just everybody's just a bit sort of sensitive and a bit hyper just purely because of the position we were in and where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I said, this is the phone-in, and it's not taking long for the first caller. We've got Frankie on the line. Frankie, how are we?
No bad, Connor. No bad, mate. My point is, Connor, my boy was talking to me last night, and he was talking about Paddy McNair. I thought we'd be a viable option in the summer, going for the likes of him. Because I think he's out of contract with Middlesbrough, Connor. He's been there 5 or 6 years. Barton, came what I mean? And it was just to see what the panel thoughts and Paddy McNair was.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wolf, obviously, you've not come in yet, so I'll kind of let you take that, although I must admit I don't know an awful lot about the kind of season he's had at Middlesbrough myself.
I know that he's been injured quite a lot of the season, which probably means we are going to sign him because that's what we do. I don't think from what I've been hearing he's particularly injury prone. And I was told today by a Middlesbrough fan I was speaking to at Broadwood, and I'm not going to name Jeff Winter by name, but it was Jeff Winter, that Paddy McNair would absolutely walk to Ibrox if Rangers offered him a contract. He's currently out of contract. He's gone. That's he's right. left.
He's with pictured with a Rangers scarf, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, he is a Rangers fan. He's from Northern Ireland. He is a Rangers fan, I believe. He's out of contract.
And he's the captain of Northern Ireland, I think, Wolf.
Yeah, I think you're right, Frankie. I think he probably is. He's out of contract. He'll have made his money down south, so I don't think, you know, money would be a big issue for him. As to the type of player he is, I don't really know that much about him. I don't watch a lot of Middlesbrough. He's obviously a name that's been floating about for a long, long time. And let's be perfectly honest, he can't be any worse than some of the ones we've got. So, you know, we need strength.
Exactly, exactly, Wolf.
If it's a viable deal for not a lot of money, then yeah, I'd be in favour of taking the money.
Yeah, I mean, Frankie,
I don't think it would double it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're pretty much answering the question I was going to ask anyway, as Wilf was put there. But I mean, you know, I think I'm seeing also some comments there as well about, you know, you can't sign him just because he's a Rangers fan. You know, is he actually good enough?
No, I know that. I know that, Connor. But my boy said, I don't know much about him, Connor. But Earl Stevens is quite a fan of him.
Hmm.
You know? And he says, I've watched him a few times, Dad. He says, and it looks as if he could do a job for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know, you never know. I do know, if I'm not mistaken, he did spend some time at Manchester United, I believe, in his younger days, you know, a few appearances there. Aye. So, you know, he obviously has something about him. But let me ask you this, Frankie, just with the conversation we've been having as well. How many would you say would actually need to bring in the summer? Because obviously, you know, Paddy McNair, even if he comes in, presumably we'll probably need one or two more than that. So what would be the areas for you that would be the priorities?
Sorry, Connor, what was that again? I couldn't hear it there. It was a bad line there.
That's all right, mate. I was just saying that we're talking about bringing in players. What would be the priority areas for you in the summer?
Well, I was looking at a few players that suit a contract, Ken, in the summer. And it was like Boys for Romania, Ken. Turkey, places like that, like central defenders, midfielders, you know, wingers. Obviously, we need all that. We need a couple of good centre-backs for a start. And I'd like to see that boy Jeffrey coming in, or Jeffrey, whatever his name is, as cover for the Yilmaz. And obviously a good striker.
Yeah, absolutely, Frankie.
But to me, they're all going on, Connor, about Dessels. But to me, Dessels has been there all season long. He's the only one that we've got. So, you know what I mean?
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, listen,
maybe
absolutely.
You feed a bit of help up front. Maybe you feed a bit of help up front, you know, it would.
Yeah, well, listen, we obviously will need to wait and see what happens with that. But thanks very much for the call, Frankie. It's been a pleasure. And give us a call back anytime, mate.
Hey, bother, Connor. Thank you. Right. Bye, Connor.
Cheers. Cheers, Frankie. Kerr, I think you were.
He can play centre back, he can play defensive man, he can also throw in at full back, so he's a bit of a utility player. He always kind of has been. I know he kind of played majority of his time at Middlesbrough at centre back, but he's not the quickest. And he's probably along the same lines as playing the Championship, along the same lines as Ben Davis, who was decent down there, was a captain of press, and they got a move to Liverpool. And he's come up to Rangers and he's not really settled down, not played a lot of football. So is that a good signing? Probably in our wage bracket, probably when you break the bank. We have to be careful what we're buying. Is there better out there? Of course there is. Can we afford that? I don't know what we've got to spend in the summer. I think it depends who leaves. So he's probably one we could be looking for. But to be honest with you, I think he's decent, but I would want somebody to be a bit younger and a bit more pace.
Well, I mean, you know, Brian, I think it's a fair point that Frankie raises about the pandemic there, and, you know, he is Northern Ireland captain and things like that. The age thing, he's 29. He's the same age as me, so I like to think that's not really that old, personally. But I think, you know, there's also the point about 24 grand a week on Borough. Is he the, you know, if we're going to pay somebody that amount in a wage, which we may or may not be able to afford to, is he the right person to be paying that amount of money to?
Again, it's all depending on the sort of profile that Clement is going to go for in the summer. I think we've had a sort of glimpse of what his plans are already, you know, with Cortez and sort of Diamande, that sort of age bracket. And I'm kind of on the fence with this one, because he's a fan of the club, so you think, right, okay, he'll at least he'll give his all for the club and that. But at the same time, you're not just wanting to sign somebody because they're a fan of the club. You're wanting them to improve the squad. And is he any worse than the centre halves we've got? Possibly not. As Kerr said, though, he's not exactly a rapid. So again, it's purely what the manager wants, as far as, you know, is this the right profile of a player that he wants? The age as well. He's 29, so he's going to hit the 30 next year. So that's another issue as well. Is that the sort of age profile? And it's all dependent on who leaves in the summer as well, because, you know, there's lots out of contract. There's ones that are, you know, under contract but not looking like getting a game. So it all depends on who we're left with after the summer.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, Wilf, I know we don't have a lot of evidence to go on, because he has only signed two players since he came into the club, in Cortez and Diamande. But sort of on that basis, is Paddy McNair somebody that Philip Clement would actually fancy? Does he fit what Clement's tried to do with the other two?
Don't know, because I don't know enough about Paddy McNair and how he plays, and I've got no idea what the manager's looking for. He might not even be aware of who he is. I mean, he'll know the name, but he might not even be aware of him. You know what I mean? It's all obviously, but we're all speculating, mainly because his name's always been out there because he's a Rangers fan, and I'm not for a minute saying you sign him for that reason. You know what I mean? But he's played at a decent level. I mean, there's a few comments there. We need to get away from signing Championship players. The Championship's not a bad league. You know what I mean? The problem we've got is the Scottish League's very, very difficult to get used to, because it's a very strange, brief, strange league. You know, I mean, none of these players that come to Rangers will be used to playing 90% of their games against teams that don't want to attack you. I mean, you're looking to sign a centre-back who's basically going to be standing doing not a lot most of the time, because teams don't attack us. I mean, they do attack us, they just try and throw balls over the top and chase them, more or less. I mean, that must take some getting used to, because that's basically what we face every week in Scotland. It's certainly what we faced on Saturday, even before they went down to 10 men. And then once they went down to 10 men, obviously they took off their only attacking threat in the boy Armstrong. And, you know, you're basically trying to break down a bank of 10 players, which you don't really need centre-backs to do. So Paddy McNair might not even be suited to the type of football that we play in Scotland. You know, manager might not be aware of him. I've got a feeling that the manager and Neil Scopin are probably going to bring in players from the Benelux countries that they know, because that tends to be what happens. You know, they might find a few gems that we've never even heard of. Our youth football manager types might have heard of them, but I mean, I'm obviously a bit too old for all that computer game nonsense. So, you know, bring in guys that a lot of folk won't know anything about, because they fit what they want to do. I've got absolutely no idea how the manager wants to play, because he's change the way he plays football to suit the players that he's been left with, because, as you say, he only brought in three in the summer, and two of them are on loan, because obviously Fabio Silva's going back to where he came from. I'd like to think that we're signing Cortez, and we have to sign Diamande. So, you know, really he's only signed two players that are still probably going to be there next season, plus whatever he's left with. So the manager is going to bring in an awful lot of his own players, and until he does that, we don't know what sort of system he's going to play. Because what he's playing with us, I would imagine, is completely different than what he played in Belgium, just because of the players he was left with. So is he going to adapt his style of play to suit what he's got currently, or is he going to bring in players and completely overhaul what we do? Is he going to change the system he plays? You know, he's playing the way he's playing because of the players that he's got. You know, and I mean, and going back to what we were talking about earlier, but, you know, that when Brian was saying it all started falling apart when we could beat Motherwell. It did. But to play devil's advocate, had we not gone to the top of the league and then threw it away, if we had just sort of gradually built our way through and we're currently sitting here 3 points behind them going to play them next week, I think there'd be a lot more positivity in the support than there is now, because there is an awful lot of negativity going about. You know what I mean? Had we not been at the top and basically thrown away 8 points, I think a lot of people would be a lot more positive about the situation that we're in. It's going to be difficult, but it's still there. And I know I'm going off on a complete tangent. Desperately waiting for somebody else to phone. So, guys, get the calls in. 7237. Martin's looking a bit bored. He's finished his dinner, so you can have a wee phone chat to him. So, it's going to be difficult. I mean, I don't know whether they're going to raid Belgium, Holland, you know, maybe Luxembourg, Scandinavia. No idea what they're going to do. I don't even know what sort of system he's looking to play. I'd like to think there'll be a complete overhaul in the squad and the way we play, because of the players he brings in, but that's all for the future.
I mean, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, Kerr, the thing is, they touched on a point there that Wilf was making about the situation of points. Obviously, if we had gradually built and got to this point, you'd be happier than where it is. But, I mean, to cut Big Phil some slack here, you do have to look at, I didn't like him saying it himself, that he's picked up more points than Celtic since he came in, because that's the kind of stuff that Mick Beale said when he came in, and that fell apart. I don't think it's the same thing, but as much as I don't like him saying it, it is a valid point. You can't just, and I think people need to remember that there are other factors that Phil's had to deal with, because he's come in and took over a team who were a shambles, who had just come off the back of one of the worst performances you've ever seen at Ibrox against Aberdeen, under a manager who had no clue. And Big Phil has built that back up again. He's got out of these players things he didn't have before. So at the very least, he deserves to be cut a little slack, even if he could maybe do him with not saying so much in some of his press conferences.
He does. He deserves a wee bit of, obviously, what you said there. When comments like that basically must be the other. He said a few things, and one of the things that annoy me as well, it's like he's on his own trumpet a bit. Listen, he's come into a shit show, we all knew that, and what he's done was great, but David P just mentioned that adaptability with some of the players, I think he struggles. He uses injuries quite a lot for me, and constantly saying it, it's you're trying to make it your scapegoat so it doesn't come back to you making the faults. And yeah, we all know we've got injuries, but sometimes we're crying for other players to be involved. And listen, I've said that a few times, I'll go back to it. The way he treats some of the young players, I don't like it. Honestly, I don't. And you brought in Cole McKinnon, he pushed him right up after the Benfica game. Cole's going to be involved here and there. He's not been involved since.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Don't ask me why. Ross McCausland, I think, has been harshly treated. I don't think Ross is. He went through a wee, he did really well, and then he came down through a wee little patch, all players do. But the way Fabio Silva's been playing recently has been awful, to be honest with you. I know he scored that weekend, but he's not been great. But if that's McCausland, if that's Campbell, they're getting criticised by the manager. I mean, you see what he's done with Todd, McCausland, other players he lets away with stuff. And it's just wee things like that. No, it's not a big thing, and I think come on, deserves a full season with some of his own players there to see where we go. But just small things that I've started saying, just put me bit doubts in my head. I don't know if it's because of what's happened in the past, or am I starting to think because of what's happened to the players that we're better than what they actually are? I don't know. But I think if we manage to go there, we can get a result. And say for Tongue, we finish the season winning two cups but losing a league and goal difference. Some people say that's a poor season, but to me, that's a great season for where we've been. But it's just because, I think it's because it was in our own hands, what Wolf mentioned, and we lost points against two teams where we should really be beaten. And you can blame a manager for that, but you have to look at the players as well. He never really held the players accountable. I'd be one or two, but there's a lot of them he still keeps in there. Like Lundstrom, he mentioned, they're quite far apart in talks. So to me, John Lundstrom's away. But he always relies on him. Silver, we all know he's away, but he's relying on him as well. Whereas you've got guys who you can maybe give a game time to, who maybe are going to be there next season or whatever, but he's not doing that. So it's just silly things maybe people think, but to me, that annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, I want to throw Carol Morrison's point there in the for that comment to you, because actually I think it's a really fair point he makes. I mean, what is it we're looking for actually for our managers to do? Because Carol's right. When Gio didn't say much, we all complained about it. We all said he's not, doesn't say enough, doesn't bash enough, what's the problem? Michael Beale again, you know, we all thought that he just kept talking nonsense repeatedly, and again, we said he's talking too much, he needs to stop. And now Clement's kind of fallen somewhere into that bracket as well in terms of talking too much. So what are we looking for our managers to do? Because let's be honest here, right? Walter Smith wasn't shy of talking and of saying things in his press conferences, and he's one of, if not possibly the greatest manager we've had. The difference was for him, and I suppose it comes to the point with Eastie, he backed it up with winning league titles, winning trophies, and the players that he had on the park. So is that what it's about for a manager? Say what you like, but back it up in the pitch?
I think it is. And as you just said there, Smith had the Smith had the players and the teams to back up his, you know, his press conferences. And unfortunately, Philip Clement hasn't had that opportunity purely because we've never been able to play our best 11 once this year. Not once. We're not even getting close, to be quite honest. And then you look at the pool that we're kind of left with, you know, with all the injuries, and you're kind of just, you're shoehorning players into certain, like, Sterling, for example, you know, we're shoehorning him in the right wing because we're lacking our injuries there. Then we're shoehorning him in the left back because of injuries there. We're just, we can't get players settled into their preferred positions purely because of the injury situation, and we're having to sort of play players here and there, and they're only coming in for a couple of games, then they're out, and then there's no sort of continuity at all. And I think it's very, I mean, I quite like Philip Clement's press conferences because he kind of just says what he's quite media savvy. I think he's quite good. If he doesn't like a question, he'll pretty much, you know, you can see his contempt when the boy asks the question. And I quite like that. So for me, out of the three of them, Clement is by far and away the best one at press conferences.
Well, I mean, I personally would agree. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, well, sometimes you do need a bit of bite back, because I feel like, you know, we're going into this game this weekend, right? And you know, that's where everybody's attention is. There's no mistake that it's only Monday, but everybody's thinking squarely on Saturday afternoon. And absolutely, if we can go and win that game, that backs up everything the manager's saying, and that's the best way to do it. But at the same time, you need some bite back, because we've spent years listening to the other side of the city ridiculing us at times. Their managers coming in talking nonsense. Even this season, Brendan Rodgers, you know, coming out and rehashing the old Rangers are coming tropes, because he said in his conference, oh, I've been told for 8 years Rangers are coming and it's not happened yet. So we have to also have the character and the backbone to bite back at that too, surely, albeit the best way you do that is win games of football in the park.
Well, the only way to do it is to win games of football in the park. I mean, Brendan Rodgers, much as I despise the man and everything about him, is 100% right. He's been told you're coming, and we haven't been. I mean, okay, we've won one league in the last 12. That's not good. That's not Rangers. That's not good enough. We're near good enough. You know, the press conference thing, for me, I agree with yourself and Brian that Philip Clement is good in press conferences. The problem with press conferences nowadays is that they're all the whole press conference is now shown out in social media. And that never used to happen. Even go back, you reference Walter Smith, go back to his days. That didn't happen. Well, you didn't have as much access to them, right? So because they're showing everyone, all the journalists and all they're trying to do is get a bite. They're trying to get a headline, they're trying to get a sound bite out of it. You see, look at me, look what I got. Right. But managers, Clement, Rodgers, they're all so well media trained. They're not going to give anything away. They're not going to lose the plot. I mean, you see, you know, some of the old school managers who's losing the plot walking out of press conferences. You're not going to get that because they're all media trained. Somebody made a comment, I didn't see who it was when it went through, that really press conferences are all the nonsense these days. Because for a start, there's far too many of them. I mean, when we were in Europe, he was doing, you know, the manager was doing the weekend press conference at the end of the European one on a Thursday night. Because if not, he's doing a Thursday before the game, Thursday after the game, Friday before the game on the Sunday, then Sunday before the game. They're doing more press conferences than they're taking training sessions. It's a piece of nonsense. Press conferences these days really are an absolute piece of nonsense. And the managers, not just Philippe Clement, but all managers in general, they must get fed up getting asked the same questions by the same idiots all the time, but they're only going to give the same answer. You know what I mean? Because if you're asked a question on a Thursday night and then you're asked it again on a Friday lunchtime, you're going to give them the same answer if it's the same question. And it's always the same because there's only so many questions you can ask, you know? So it's no wonder that the press conferences can be a bit bland and, you know, people say, well, he either says too much, doesn't say enough. And yes, as you said, there's got to be bite back. I thought he bit back really well when he was asked about Brendan Rodgers' conference, but then having a bit of fun, he said it was disrespectful. That's the manager's opinion, I think. It is disrespectful to any club to say things like that. There's only one way to make Brendan Rodgers regret that. That's to go out there on Sunday and absolutely smash them. Now, I don't think we're capable of doing that. I think we're capable of beating them. I don't think we're capable of smashing them. But let's go out and give it a go. I mean, there is far too much negativity in the supporters now, and I get it, because there's absolutely no evidence in recent weeks and months that we can go there and get a result. Right? Mm. There's no evidence of it. We got to the top of the three and we shit the bed. We lost to Motherwell. We inexplicably lost to Ross County. We drew with Dundee, games that we should have been winning very, very handily, right? Without question. And that's mentality. I think that's down to the mentality issue of the players. There's very little the manager can do about that because he's putting the best team in the park that he's got. I think he's too cautious when it comes to injuries because, you know, many times does he come out and say, look, whatever returning player hasn't got 90 minutes in him. Well, if he's only got an hour, give him an hour. Start him, put the game to bed, then take him off. You know what I mean? Instead of saying, well, he's come back for injury, we'll leave him on the bench and we'll possibly give him half an hour. If they've got half an hour, give them half an hour to start the game. They might give you 45 minutes. You just don't know that. So I think from that point of view, he's a wee bit too cautious. But he's also very aware that the pre-season wasn't great because so many players are breaking down. He's been on record of saying that countless times. So the proof in the pudding will be next season when he's had them for the pre-season. You know, see what he can do with them, see how much fitter they are next season. But that doesn't help us in the here and now. And the here and now is we need to go on Saturday coming, give it our best shot. If a best shot's not good enough, then okay, we've blown it. And that's just the way it is. And it's not nice. Not a nice feeling at all. But basically, he's got from now till Saturday to sort their heads out because it's in there. The way, if we start the game the way we've started the last three or four games, we'll be beating the tunnel on Saturday. And we can't have that. We need to go out. And if we're going to die with our boots on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a reminder, this is a phone in. I can see plenty of comments rolling in, but, you know, get that phone picked up. I cannot believe that in this week of all weeks, there's not somebody sitting there with battle fever on and wanting to give us a phone. Whether that's anything you've heard tonight that you want to take somebody up on or any ideas you've got for what the manager needs to do to get a result at the weekend, dial the number at the bottom of the screen and we'll get you on. Just like we did with Frankie earlier on. Rangers on tour makes a point about if we want to beat Celtic, we need to vote Lindstrom. Is that half? And obviously he talks about playing Sterling and Diamande in the middle as well. But I thought, and you may disagree, I thought the last Old Firm game, Diamande looked a bit nervous to start with, because there was moments he was getting in the ball where he was a bit loose with his play and wasn't really getting it under control. So is Rangers in tour right?
I actually agree with him. At that point, I do. Listen,
shocker in this podcast that me and Kieran would ever disagree about something.
I just said that for that reason, Connor. no, I just think we lack legs, maybe the fart, I do. And dear man, he likes to take a risk at times, he likes to go forward. We know he can get forward. We know he likes to play the ball forward, whereas Lundstrom doesn't. But in these games, sometimes he was by Lundstrom. He's one-paced, he's flat-footed. By all accounts, he has a way. So I would rather have Sterling in middle of the park because he can get about. He is physical. We know how strong he is. He can pass a ball. He can challenge. And it'll take something to do well to get by him. Especially running one-to-one because he is quick as well. And you need that on Saturday because we can't be in the middle of the park. We can't be weak. We can't be stagnated. We can't be standing and watching. And that's what happened with this Rangers side. And so we need two strong people in the middle of the park. And I would go with A2. Listen, I'm also a big fan of asking. I know a lot of folks watch this pod don't like him. And probably some of the podders don't either. But I think he could offer us something else. I know he won't play. But I would go with Sterling and Diamandi, I think. I think Lundstrom has to be out. But I know he won't. I know the manager likes him. That's why he wants him to stay. But I do agree, I think, in games like this, just because he has one pace, he drops too deep for me. He keeps everything too simple. He doesn't even keep it simple. He just keeps everything slow, predictable, sideways. I know we're going to be nervous, and I know sometimes that stops him playing, but if you get John Lundstrom in your team, you go on a goal down early at Celtic Park, or should I say Parkhead, because Wolf's in the panel. I don't think Lundstrom's a man that's going to help you. I know he drops back to help the centre backs, but he drops back at times on his own accord because that's what he does. Because he needs to give the strikers a yard behind so he can catch up with him. Listen, to me, John Lundstrom's not a player to go forward with, but like I say, that's just my opinion. So I would easily drop him for the weekend and bring on Sterling and Diamond.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, Sterling all day long. I will say that absolutely all day long. You play Sterling, Brian. I mean, for you, what would you say? Drop Lundstrom and change it drastically. I'm not saying he would do this, but could, for example, do you maybe start Tom Lawrence after he's scored an absolute belter at the weekend? Does Nicholas Raskin perhaps get an opportunity in there? I mean. For you, how would you sort of go in the midfield on Saturday?
I mean, I'm totally agreeing with Kerr. I would be having Diamandi and Sterling in there at all costs. I mean, both young guys, energetic. As a few folk are saying in the comments, they're absolutely right. We need to win the midfield. You know, these games are won or lost in the midfield battles. And we need guys that are going to get around that park and, you know, a bit of mobility. And then you also need the injection of pace, which both of them have got. So if we do happen to win the ball, we can make a break. As Kerr said as well, you know, Lundstrom for me is just, he's too defensive minded, and he slows everything down. He's done that there's the odd game where he'll start and he'll play well and that'll be it. He's so inconsistent now. But he's out of contract, so as you say. But I would be Lawrence. Yeah, again, he's far to deceive sometimes, but he knows where the goal is. You know, he's one of these guys that's not shy of having a shot. So yeah, there's that little bit in his armory. But yeah, that for me, that's about as good a three as we can muster up just now.
Yeah, I'm going to put this to you slightly differently. Because one of the factors that undoubtedly comes into in this game is the mentality side of things and the leadership on the park. Now, for one reason or another, and whether people have liked it or not, our leadership seems to have stemmed mainly from, you know, obviously Tavis, captain, and then Golson and Lundstrom. They've kind of been looked at as the three main sort of who are looking to lead it. So with the fact that Golson has been dropped and has now mysteriously picked up an injury, we're talking potentially dropping Lundstrom. Does Tav have the mentality to lead this team out there and on the pitch actually get not just a tune out of himself, but get the other players, ready to go?
it shouldn't be down. It shouldn't just be down to James Tavernier. Listen, this is an Old Firm game, right? That the season rests on, right? If these players need fired up on the park by somebody, they shouldn't be at Rangers. It's as simple as that. The very fact that they're walking into a cauldron of 60,000 of them, right? They should be busting at the seams in the tunnel to get out there, and just they shouldn't need any motivation. The motivational factor should be the badge on their back. I don't give a monkeys if they're not Rangers fans. They're playing for us, right? They've all been there long enough. They know what the club means. They know how they keep coming out and telling us the club's massive. The fans are brilliant. We're this, we're that. The fact that we're not there, okay, it's going to hurt them. And they should prove that they can do it without us there. You know what I mean? They need the leadership on the park, but I've got no doubt the manager will have them. I'll have told them how they need to be, where they need to be, what the game plan is. Right, every single one of them on the park should be leading the other one. If somebody's stepping out of line, even if it's Diamondi, if McCausland plays, McCausland should be shouting at them, telling them where they're supposed to be, because they should all know the instructions. They should know what everybody's supposed to do. If any one of those players needs extra motivation once they walk on that park, I don't want to see them on that park. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Keir. And I mean, the other thing is as well is how you respond if something does go wrong. Because listen, you can go out there and do the job that you're supposed to be doing, and actually, you know, keep being in your positions. And sometimes, whether it's a decision goes against you, whether you do end up, you can see the goal. You know, would you have the belief that if we do as we have done in the previous derbies this season, if we go behind, do you think we've got the character away from home to come back for that and to dust ourselves off?
Short answer, Connor, no. I don't think the mindset's here with some of these players. I think when they go and get tough, some of them hide. Some of them don't, to be fair to them, but some of them hide. Some of them pass the buck. Some of them don't want the ball. Some of them don't want criticised. And I think that's just the way some players are. And it's nothing to do with the shut your way. I just think that's their own mentality. They maybe go away and play somewhere else and they're great. But when it comes to big games, if you're making mistakes, if you're getting criticised, whatever else you want to call it, I think some of them do hide for that reason. And I think the mindset is with some of them, they've been there a few times and not won. And some of them go there feeling another doing, basically. And it's one of the things, if something happens to you often enough, you expect it to happen again, don't you? And I think that's what happens with some of these players. And the manager can say all he wants, I agree with all. Tab can say all he wants, but the captain can only do so much. I know I criticise, was kind of criticising from coming to Ella, but he can only say so much. Once these 11 guys cross the line, they make their own decisions in the park. They make their own, so they do, so it's up to them. But as a team, I know we come back at Ibrox and we would go, that was great, but
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't see it happening over there. I just don't see that happening. I don't think with 60,000 in screaming and shouting, celebrating, I think some of these players will want to get a spade and dig a hole and hide. I do, honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah, every chance. And Brian, we've obviously spoke about the midfield there and things like that, but an area of concern potentially Saturday at the back is Leon Balogun seems to have picked up an injury, which is just typical. You bring somebody in who's been playing well for you and he gets injured. That seems to be just our luck in recent years, it has to be said. But by all accounts, it will be Ben Davies that will have to step in there. What's your kind of immediate thoughts on that? Because he came in sort of out of the blue at the weekend and he did score and he looked okay, but that partnership of Sutton and Davies, we've seen it before and it had mixed results.
Yeah, and obviously with Davies, I can't even remember the time before he played yesterday. You know, it's been such a long time since we've seen him. So, I mean, match fitness wise. You know, I mean, he's a centre half, so he probably, you know, he's not like a centre midfielder or a winger where he's, you know, running an awful lot. He's, you know, so he might be able to skate by the game. But as you say, it's had mixed results with that partnership where Suter as well. So I mean, the only positive that there is in that is that Suter will be able to play in his preferred right centre half position. So we might get to see hopefully a bit more of that. Because even when Balogun came in, Balogun was still playing right centre half, which I was always a bit surprised about. But it's just a lack of game time. It's worrying me with Davies. And as you say, it's been mixed results with the two of them. So it'll be, again, it's another one of those situations where there's not much else or much options apart from that. So it's, you know, no, it's going to be
apologies to cut you off there, Brian, but we do finally have a second caller this evening. We've got Andrew on the line, and rather aptly, I think you've got a point about the defence for the weekend, Andrew.
Hi, how you doing, Conor? How you doing, gentlemen? Yeah, I think I was quite happy when I saw Suter go back to his right side, as Brian was saying, and Ben Davies come in. And in fairness, Davies put in a good shift, scored a goal. He's an experienced boy. Okay, lack of game time, I get that. But I think we're down to bare bones, you guys. So that's probably the only reason Silva's been played on the left side. I presume Matondo's injured again, is he? Or is he fit? Nobody would know, would you?
Yes, I think Matondo does have a knock. I'm pretty sure that's why he's missed it. I don't know that then if anybody else knows better than me, by all means jump in, but I do believe he has picked up an injury, yep.
Yeah, he might be just sort of being cautious with Saturday's game in mind, obviously, Connor. So you might see, you know, Matondo, you know, get a chance, certainly, if Silva sucks, you know, in the first half. But Silva's really got to stand up to the plate in this one. You know, Wolves paid £75 million for him. And at times he looks like, you know, 35,000's worth. You know, he looks just absolutely dire. He dives all over the place. You feel like saying, come on. Get a bloody pair, mate, and just get on with it. Stop f***ing about out there and start playing. But I wouldn't be unconcerned about those two at centre-back, certainly on Saturday. And again, how you two feel about that, or you four, rather. What do you think about Davies and Suter as your partnership on Saturday?
Well, Wolf, we'll throw that to you on the Davies and Suter question.
I think it might actually help us, because obviously that would mean Suter would move to his preferred right side centre back, and Davies on the left, and Suter being there, he might, you know, it's more cover for Tav, because Tav seems to get a right hard time. I think they'll certainly target the captain, I think, on Saturday. So I think with Suter there, because it's his natural side, they'll at least give him a bit of cover if they kind of come over the top at him. So I wouldn't be adverse to it. The fact that Ben Davies hasn't played a lot of games does worry me. Getting towards the end of the game, whether he's got the legs for it, and I don't know if he's got the siege mentality that he might need, but I wouldn't have any problem with him playing. I mean, there's calls in the comments to play three at the back. I don't know who the three at the back could be, because we've only got two fit centre halves. If Balogun is a bit more than a knock, because they said they took him off because it was a precaution. He felt something in his back. You can't mess about with that. So. I mean, Balogun might be fit. It might be a case of he has to start Ben Davies, put Balogun on the bench, because he knows Davies isn't going to last the pace. So Balogun, you know, he might see Balogun for the last half hour. I've got absolutely no idea how that's going to play out, depending on the knock that he's got. But no, I think I'd be quite comfortable with Suter playing on the right side of the centre back and Davies on the left.
Quite agree with that. The problem with his back three, I don't think he's played that the whole season. Beale mentioned it as well, but I don't think Beale hardly ever played it. Maybe once. I think one strange game when we ended up with three at the back. But you've just got to put your best 11 players, considering, as I say, they're down to bare bones, and just say, right, when the bullets start firing, people need to stand up to the plate and shoot back. And that's what we need on Saturday, guys.
Listen, 100% agree with you there, Andrew, and some great points there, as always. By all means, give us a call again whenever you like. Hopefully, after we've got a good result of the weekend.
I hope so too. All the best, guys.
All right, thanks very much. Wolf, I'm going to stick with you for a second, because Andrew touched on another point, another player rather that I wanted to bring up as well, and Fabio Silva, in terms of the antics. I think not many people were impressed by his celebration at the weekend. What's your feeling on him going into the game at the weekend? I mean, do you think he'll start? And do you think if he does, instead of doing stupid celebrations, you should be focusing on actually trying to put in a proper 90-minute shift in the park, which he doesn't seem to have done so far?
I think he probably will start because, as we keep saying, we're down to the bare bones. We don't really have a lot else because we've got all my wide players appear to be injured. So I think he'll maybe play on one of the sides, whether it's left or right. I don't know because he's been playing on both. I've got no idea what the celebration meant. I don't really care what the celebration meant. I mean, it might. The way I would see it is possibly he knows he's been getting stuck and he's saying that was me. You don't need to talk about me. I don't know. If he does, fine. He shouldn't be doing stuff like that. Rangers players should be bigger than that. But you can understand it because if you're giving out stick, you've got to take it back off the players, I suppose. But I've got no idea what it was about. He seems to have stopped the falling about antics that he had a few weeks ago. You know, I mean, some of the diving he had was just ridiculous. He seems to have stopped that. He's supposed to be a big game player. He's now playing to impress his parent club because it's been, you know, it's now public knowledge he's going back there. So I would imagine he's going back there with a view to, I think they're trying to sell him. So he's obviously going to try and, you know, he'll need to impress prospective suitors for next season because from what I've heard, they're not looking to put him out on loan again. They're looking to actually get money for him. So for that to happen, he's going to have to impress, and he'll want to do that. The eyes of the world is going to be on this game because it's Rangers Celtic. It's the biggest game in the world, in my opinion. So everybody's eyes are going to be on it. So if you can't get up and perform properly for this, then he shouldn't be playing football in the first place.
I mean, yeah, no, I think you'd have to agree, and I would hope it has stopped some of the antics, and who knows, maybe there's a silver lining yet to come. Well, just like that, like a bus, you wait long enough for one and two come at the same time. We've got another caller on the line. Chris is on the line from Rangers on Tour, I believe. Chris, how are we?
How's it going, guys?
Aye, not too bad, mate. What's in your mind tonight?
No, it's just the usual. I enjoy watching the show and I like getting involved in the comments, and I just felt I might as well just join in the chat.
Listen, absolutely. That's what it's all about. I've said that before, get yourself out of the comments and on the phone. You only get the chance once a week. So what's your thinking then going into Saturday? We've obviously picked the bones of who might start and systems and things like that. Where do you see it? What would you think we need to do to get a result?
Well, I think Wolf said it kind of earlier on that, you know, for myself, I've been watching Rangers games for long enough and Old Firm games long enough. Old Firm games are one in the midfield, taking your chances and no doing anything stupid in defence. Now, recently in Old Firm games, we seem to no take our chances, no bother in the midfield, and we make loads of mistakes at the back, you know? So I think the big thing, and that's why I put in the comment about Lundstrom, because as much as he has, he's always ever present, but we just need legs in the middle of that midfield. I feel at times, especially when we're under the cosh, he just plays deeper and deeper and deeper in the team. Grant, you know, he did start the game well against Killie, but when Killie scored, I felt that the only sort of three players that were really trying to make an impact in the game were Sterling, Diamandi and Cantwell. So I don't know. I think the fact is, but the way the season's poised, you really can't stick with the tried and tested. We might have to just do something really radical. And if Goldson's no getting a game, and like you said, he's picked up this mysterious injury that no one's ever heard of. But now, you know, I don't know if Lundstrom's done enough to say that, you know, does he deserve to be in the team for an Old Firm game?
I will come to yourself on what Chris is saying there. I think he's made some fair points, I must admit.
I just don't think Johnson's good enough for the way I want Rangers to go. I think he's a decent player. He gives you what he has, and when he goes to somewhere else, if it's back down south, he'll do a job, whatever he's asked to do, in a way they want him to play. I just feel we need something more from him, and he kind of gives us that, and it's legs, basically, because, well, I would say right at the start, the Scottish League kind of different from English League. The English League is more than technically better, get better players, blah, blah, blah. But up here, it's a bit more fast-paced, isn't it, compared to maybe where he's been going down south. And I don't know if he's got that in his locker. He can't. He's one-paced for me, two-one-paced. He's... I remember a game against Celtic before. Wasn't it the last game? But I think it was last season at Parkhead or the season before. But he was jumping into tackles, but he's missing everybody. He tried to be the cardboard gangster, which it was never going to be. And John Lindstrom's John Lindstrom. He's been here for like four seasons. And he's maybe altogether just over a good season in general. He's been in and out of the team. He's played okay since come on, he's come in. Some games you said he's been really good today. I've said it myself. But in our games, he's back to John Lindstrom. I just feel going to Parkhead weekend, we need legs. We need something different. And I don't feel he offers us that. I think he's very predictable the way he plays. He's very slow. And if you slow your play down and pick the balls he does, we'll get picked off. And then we get picked off. He's not fast enough to recover. Whereas Balogun can get picked off at times. He's got a wee bit of recovery pace. Whereas Lindstrom hasn't. I'm going to just jump quickly back to Ben Davis. I think Ben Davis was out injured, Connor, with a concussion. That's why he wasn't back sooner. He said that today he got kicked in the head in training. So I think he missed another 4 to 6 weeks with concussion protocol. And he was having headaches for a while. So I think that's why he was out longer than he should have been. But by all accounts, he's ready to play if he's needed. So, no, but I agree with Chris.
Did Dessa try and set a shot, eh?
Well, Chris, see this how you.
No, I was about to say, in terms of that, I kind of feel this whole kind of drop off of the whole team has kind of coincided when Ridvan went out. I think in terms of Clement when he came in was talking about balance. And if you look at how we played, even if you go back to the game at Parkhead, Ridvan, we lost, but Ridvan was one of our best players on the pitch that day. And I think ever since he's been at the side, we have really kind of lost a balance within the team. Even his cameo that he played and he came on, you could see that what we've missed, like he's made those runs into the middle of the pitch, he was creating chances. I feel that, and again, as much as Silver's became a bit of a whipping boy for the fans, I feel that him and Ridvan played really well together, because whereas Borna has always been the one way where he sticks to the line, goes to the corner, whips a ball in, whereas Ridvan would either drive in himself or try and create passes or try and create some space, and that would allow him, Silver and Cantwell, or also guys like Diamandé, like space to kind of try and create something. And I feel that, you know, again, he's definitely a player that we've really missed him. And I think he's the one that I would really want in the team against Celtic, because then it would allow Sterling to be able to play in the midfield, because I just think how much of a huge impact he has and he's had on the side.
Wolf, looked like you wanted to jump in there with something.
No, I was just I was just going to make the point that if Ridvan plays, it puts Sterling in midfield, but obviously that got covered at the end of the call there. So that's what I was going to say. That's, to me, that's why it's important that Ridvan plays, because we need Sterling in the middle of that park, because he's got pace, he's got power. You know, he'll rumble. I'd be saying to Sterling, wherever McGregor goes, you go with him. You know what I mean? And stick somebody else on O'Reilly. Whether it's Diamandé and safety, or swap them about, you just put Diamandé on McGregor and Sterling on O'Reilly, and just say, look, just if they go to the toilet with them, just stick with them. Because as we've all been saying, they win the midfield all the time. You know, we can't go, if we overrun the midfield, we're on a hiding to nothing. So we really need to you know, we really need to get a grip on that. But that was the only comment I was going to make, that Redvan has to play just so that we can get Sterling in the middle of the park.
Yeah, and funnily enough, it looks like Brian has gone to the toilet, just as Wilf was saying earlier. So, Chris, thanks very much, mate, for the call. Been an absolute pleasure. Some great points there. And do give us a call back anytime. And even earlier in the show, mate, you know, that's what we're here for on Monday night.
Aye, magic. Excellent. All right, have a good one, guys.
Catch you
later.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris. Right, well, we are fast approaching the end of the show, so there are tight title races abound, not just in the men's game, but of course in the women's game as well. And I believe tomorrow evening, I don't know, Brian or Wilf, whichever one you want to come in, you'll be shedding some light on the events that took place at Broadwood today.
Yeah, 6:30 tomorrow night. We're going to start. We're going to have a new time slot of 6:30. It's going to be usually on a Monday, which is the day after the game. But because the game was today, we're having it tomorrow, and we'll pick the bones out of what happened at Broadwood this afternoon. And yes, so join us at I think it's myself, Brian, Karen, Laura tomorrow at 6:30 live on YouTube and wherever else you watch it, Twitter, X, whatever it's called, Facebook, all that stuff. And we'll have a wee chat about that. So. Yeah, that should be quite lively.
Well, there you go then. First, get sat down with your dinner and get the lads and the lassies on for all things to do with the women's team. Obviously, if you have enjoyed what you've seen tonight, give us a like, subscribe to the channel, become a member. We've got a brand new member show every Thursday night. That's just one of the perks you get for less than the price of a cup of coffee. And all that remains for me to do is to thank my panel, Kerr, Brian and Wilf. It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much. And we will see you, well, tomorrow night for the women's show and then Thursday for the members' show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.